Infertility is extremely common. They say one in six to one in seven couples, so that's about 3.5 million people in the whole of the UK who are affected, and it can be extraordinarily distressing for them, a very painful thing to want a child and not be able to have one. We see that too as Christians in the scriptures. Think of Rachel, who said to her husband, Jacob, give me children or I'll die. You know, that's how desperate she felt. So infertility can be a very painful experience. And of course, the arrival of a child, a great joy.
It's, of course, 40 years since the first IVF baby was conceived. There have been a huge amount of developments with technology around fertility.
We have, and it was Louise Brown back in the 1970s who was the first now, so she's around 40 years old now, and that was, of course, huge news. The new technology, of course, opened up what many would call a Pandora's box of other possibilities, because once you can get embryos into the laboratory, then you can do all sorts of things with them. We see on the one hand great joy amongst the parents. 250,000 children now have been born from IVF and other technologies in Britain in the last 40 years, but there's, in many ways, it's the tip of the iceberg of a whole lot of other things that are happening and a lot of questions that are not really being asked or properly explored.
So as you see it, describe to us what some of the ethical considerations are for Christian couples.
I think, first of all, it's important to see the wider picture and ask ourselves, you know, why is there such a huge demand for infertility treatments at the moment, especially high-tech ones? And there are two main reasons for that. The first is that there is a huge increase in infertility. Some of that is due to what we call tubal damage, damage to the fallopian tubes from sexually transmitted infections, so a product of the sexual revolution. Of course, that only makes up about 1 in 7, 1 in 8 of all cases of infertility, and infertility might be due to a problem either with the man or the woman. But the main factor fueling the rise of infertility is the fact that couples are leaving it later and later and later to have children. And once you get past 35, your chances of getting pregnant really drop off quite dramatically. And women in their 45-plus age group, for example, only have about a 1% to 2% chance of success from IVF in a given cycle. The other reason is that there are very few babies available for adoption now. So we had over 20,000 a year babies being adopted way back in the 1970s, and that's fallen to less than, the figure last year was 230 babies in the whole of the UK adopted, and most of these were removed babies, so they were taken from babies were taken from families who were not coping for whatever reason. Very few of them are relinquished babies that are given up for adoption. And the reason of the fall is, first of all, the huge number of abortions. And we've had almost 9 million babies aborted in this country. Along with that, many women are choosing to keep their babies, of course. So you've got 3 million children now in single-parent families. So it's the rise of infertility and the fall in babies available for adoption which has largely fueled this.
What about the discussion within church and wider society when it comes to infertility? Because there's a social acceptance, if you like, that couples get married, they start a family. Do you still think social awkwardness exists for couples who are experiencing infertility?
I think there is still some stigma and the feeling that because people can't have a baby that they've somehow failed or it's their fault, which almost in the vast majority of cases is not true at all, and it's something that's still very difficult to talk about. But we're seeing a huge number of couples now going for these treatments. But I think when Christians find themselves in a situation where they're struggling with infertility, they really need to ask some very serious questions.
For anyone who may be listening today in this situation, wanting to get more support, advice, start a discussion maybe within their own church community, how would you advise going about doing that?
I think there are three big things to think about for couples facing infertility. The first is to think about the cost, the economic cost, obviously. Some NHS trusts will provide some cycles, but it will take an average, even for younger couples, of 3 cycles to get pregnant. and the costs can mount up into five figures pretty quickly when you're paying, you know, £3,000 or so per cycle. And then there's the emotional cost as well, the emotional roller coaster of, you know, is it going to happen this cycle or isn't it? And for even for the couples below 35, only half of them are going to be successful with a number of cycles, and that drops off quite precipitously once you get past 35. So I think the cost, both financial and emotional, is important. I think the two big ethical questions are around the human embryo and the use of donor eggs or sperm. So I would certainly believe as a doctor that life begins at conception and that we should be showing the utmost respect for human life from the time of conception. We've had 250,000 babies born by IVF and associated technologies in Britain, but the latest figures I'm aware of, which are from 2012, 3.5 million embryos had been produced, and 2.5 million of those had been destroyed, and almost a million of them were on ice, many of which would never be reimplanted. So I think the questions about embryos, what are they going to be used for? And I think if you're doing IVF, every embryo being produced is being reimplanted at the time, most likely for survival, and there's no freezing or experimentation or disposal, then I think that those are the kind of principles that we should be operating. And then the other question is around donor gametes. And we know that if donated eggs or sperm are used, it introduces a third person into the marriage bond who will be genetically related to the child, who is one of the parents generally, of course, will not be, even though we might say that this doesn't involve the cheating or lust aspects of an adulterous relationship. It certainly does bring a third person into the marriage bond. A marriage is a spiritual, emotional, and physical union in which two become one. So in our booklet, we certainly advise, our advice to people is to say, pursue infertility treatments which respect the integrity and status of the human embryo as a human life made in God's image, but also that don't introduce a third person into the marriage bond. My big question about this whole thing is what are we doing to address the rising problem of infertility and the lack of babies available for adoption, which used to be the solution?
As Dr. Peter Saunders says, there are plenty of resources online at cmf.org.uk. Dr. Peter Saunders is the CEO of the Christian Medical Fellowship. Thank you for joining us.
That's